would solve me. Everything would be fine. Okay? We are on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. I want to start from the Mishnah again. And here, Dalet Amud Aleph. Kol shechalti b'shmirosoi. And shati is nizko. Anytime I'm liable to watch something, if I prepare its nezek by not watching it properly, echshati makes us nizko. If I prepare it partially, chavti b'tashlumi nizko, I have to pay for the entire, for whatever damages, kechshir kol nizko, if I facilitate, is a better word than prepare, the entire nezek. The chazim shem ben me'ila is only property where there is no me'ila, meaning not kochim. The chazim shem ben me'ila is only property of Jews, not going. Chazim yuchadim has to be property which is owned, as opposed to hefker. Chutz mirushusam yuchadis doesn't take effect in a property which is yuchadis lemazik, which belongs to the mazik himself. Rushusa nizak va mazik betashlumin, and the rushusa the nizak and the mazik is in payment. Now you asked me yesterday. Rameir asked yesterday if this is in the Bavli, this Mishnah. Did you ask me this?
Yeah.
It is, except for the last line. The last word, B'tashlumin, is not in the Bavli. And in fact, the Bavli has an extended last line, which is not here. It says in the Bavli, this is a quote, Rushus HaNizak V'HaMazik, those are the three words we have here before the last word of the Mishnah. Then it goes on to say, K'shehizik, when damage occurs, Chayv haMazik l'shalim tashlumei nezek v'meit avoret. The mazik has to pay from the best with has to pay the damages from the best land which he has. So actually, here we have the word tashlumin, which doesn't appear in the Bavli, but we don't have the whole statement in the Bavli, which makes it evident that you're liable to pay when a reshus is owned jointly by the nizik and the mazik, and this will cause Yerushalmi grief later on. Okay, the fact that there's a different version here than in the Bavli. Okay, says Martin Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia said, "Zeh ha'shol v'habor." What is considered to be a where do I have a chiv of shmira for the nezek? That's by shor and bor. Right, I have to watch my ox. I have to watch my pit. V'aish lo tana. Aish is not included. Now, why is aish not included? Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu said, "Ha'aish." It says lehechsher, but it's like lahechsher, meaning low hechsher. Ha'aish. You're not chayav for hechsher nezakov. That's a very important point. If you have an ox in your backyard, you don't safeguard your backyard, boom, you're chayav. If you have a boar in Shemek or Shusarab, you don't safeguard it, you're chayav, right? Let's say lightning strikes in your backyard. You didn't ignite the fire. And then it spreads from out of your backyard, your balter. In order to be chayav on fire, it has to be that you actually set the fire. The Bavli calls that isha mishum chitzov. Yerushalmi doesn't mention that. The Ribaz really tries and induces it into the Yerushalmi, but I'm a little bit skeptical. But the idea is very important, and it leads into the next question. Rabbi Yosef says in Kaini, if that's the case, that Ha'esh lo hechsher nezakov, again, la hechsher is like lo hechsher nezakov, if it's not a chiyuv on not watching, but rather the chiyuv is on igniting a fire, which then spreads. So then, mekabul of asroya bedazu v'loike. If I go to somebody who's about to start a fire, and I tell him, don't start the fire, and he says, I'm starting the fire, I'm an askain, so I should be able to give him malchus as a result. Now, of course, the obvious question is, now, Ariyasha does ask it, although I don't see why he has to ask it. But the obvious question is, obviously, you don't get malchus, right? You pay, right? Ein lokem mishalim. Anytime you can pay, there's no malchus. Yerushalmi knows that as well. Yerushalmi immediately addresses that issue. But he's just saying for effect, right? He's saying that you should get malchus. So it says, Marmaikidun, what taki is the maskana? Why is there no malchus? Because of, obviously, ha'esh lehechshon lehechshon ezakav. Again, since ha'esh is not based on hechshon ezakav, so therefore, makabalah, if you set a fire and that fire went to damage another human being, you accept upon yourself, meaning you're liable for nezek, tzar, ripui, shevis, and moshes. You're liable for all those payments. If your ox goes and gores another human being, if a human being falls into your pit, you're not chayav for nezek, tzar, ripui, shevis, and moshes. You only pay nezek, not everything else. Not the anger, not the pain, not the doctor bills, not the unemployment, and not the degradation. It's only if you yourself punch somebody in the nose, or did something like that. But since Aish is considered to be an extension of yourself, So that's why it's like Niske Adam Ba'adam. In fact, the Rambam, it takes this Gemara so literally, Rashi in the Bavli says that even though by Eishu Chayev on everything, but not on Boishas. Boishas you're not Chayev. Right? Because then that goes to make sense according to Bavli, because Isha Mishum Chitov. By Isha Mishum Chitov means it's like you shot an arrow. But he didn't strike him personally, right? But the Yushalmi is even more radical than that. The Yushalmi says you're Chayev on Boishas as well. And the Rambam Paskin is like this Yushalmi over the Bavli. Baskin, so you are Chayev on Boshes. And the Rabbi speaks about that at some great length here. But in any event, that's what the Yushami holds, that Eish is unique and therefore different than Bor and different than Shor.
Did you say Eish?
Yeah. Right. It's because Eish is Mishum Chitov, then you're Chayev everything else. Okay? Because Eish is Mishum Mono, it'd be just like an ox, right? Absolutely. Says Gemara, "Lichshati mimikzas nizko." If I made facilitate part of the nezek, kehachshir noed nekol nizko. I pay as if I made the entire nezek. Zabor. This is the Buzra referring to a board. The Tani we learned, "Chofar bor tisha tefachim." If you dig a pit which is 10 tefachim deep, 9 tefachim, sorry, 9 tefachim deep, bo acher ba amak bo tefach, and then somebody else came and made it a tenth tefach deep. So he just dug a tefach. Achron chayev. The last guy is chayev. Why? Because he completed it. Okay. What? Not chayev misa. If the animal that falls in dies, then he's chayev.
Is this
the significance
of
10 tefachim? Yeah, k'deil homis is probably animal, not k'deil homis. It is too, that too, but that's not what I'm talking about here. But you don't pay for killing a human being. You pay for killing an animal. So if an animal falls into a bore which is less than 10 tefachim deep, your pot, and it dies, your potter. But if it's 10 tefachim deep, and one guy dug 9 tefachim, the other guy dug the last tefach, the guy who dug the last tefach is chayev. Rabbi Omer says, Achra achra lemisa. The logical dichotomy Rabbi makes, I don't know if Tanakhama disagrees or not, it seems like he does disagree. Rabbi says, Achra achra lemisa, if the animal which falls into the bore dies, then you go after the last guy, because he's the guy who made it 10 fucking deep. Bacharishon and Nezaki, and you go after the first guy in terms of Nezek, because he made it 9 fucking deep, which is certainly enough to damage an animal. Okay? Right?
Yeah, so.
No. If, let's say the animal did not die but survived. So who has to pay?
The first guy,
he says, right? On Rabbi Yitzchak, he says, no. Kini mas nisa. This is the way to look at the Braisa. Don't misread the Braisa like we just did. Rather, achra the misa. The last guy who made a 10 tefachim deep facilitates death. V'achra shneim l'nezokin. Right? They both have to pay in terms of nezek, because they both were contributory. The Bavli is not so sure about that, but I think in the conclusion of Bavli, it also comes out to this conclusion.
But the animal would have been damaged regardless of whether it was 9 tefachim or 10 tefachim deep. So.
No, yeah, he also contributed here. That's the aside here. He also has a chiyuv shmira. You're right. Once I dig deeper into the pit, I get a chiyuv shmira as well. I have to watch it. If I didn't watch it, I'm liable to pay. That's what it's. You're right. The other side in the Bavli is that the first guy made it deep enough. Why does the second guy have to pay? No, but here's No, there's no tie to the Bobby. Sorry, the tie to the Bobby said only the last guy has to pay. See, they're both of the last guy. It's not only the first guy. For sure the last guy has a Chiyuv Shmira. The Shai says if the first guy loses his Chiyuv Shmira as a result or not. Okay? So it says, Chafar Ba Sora Tvachim. Okay, the first guy dug 10 Tvachim deep. So he brought it to the limit down. V'acher, another guy came, Besido V'chid Al-Chiro. He came and he went down to the board and he put on plaster on it. And he made all sorts of sculptures in it. So it's his name Chayavim. But the Ritbaz and Shai Teretz Yisrael changed, and I think they're right, to Achron Chayav, the last guy is Chayav. The guy who plastered and sculpted it. So it's my nation, Sidov Chido, Chayav, what are you liable for? What kind of insanity is that? Right, what did he do? So the Gemara here says, now this is different than the Bavli, argues in the Bavli. Says Yushami, a very fundamental Yisrael, which the Bavli never heard of. Which is, Bisha Omar Lo, the owner, the guy who dug the bore, said to the second guy, so it says it's a bais, but the mashbiach says obviously there was a base there, and somebody interpreted bais, but it really supposed to be so that's a bore. Yeah, so it's a bore, right? Because it's talking about bore, not the bais, right? So it's a bore hazeh ukneoso, and by doing that you'll acquire it. Okay, how do you acquire it? Nobody owns it. It's a bor b'shus a rabin, right? But nevertheless, the Mar Rabbi Yaim v'shem Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yaim v'shem Rabbi Lezer, shmiras nizakin k'shmiras kinyan. Shmiras nizakin is like shmiras kinyan. In other words, who has responsibility to watch this? That responsibility can be transferred by the vehicle of kinyan. And just like you can make a kinyan on karka by sculpting or plastering, here the kinyan of Shmiras Nizakin is transferred as well. It's amazing kiddush because you don't own it. Famous language in the Bavli. Shnei dvarim einam b'shusa shel adam v'asona kasu kila b'shusa. Two things are not yours. The Torah regards them as if they're yours. What's that? Bor b'shusa rabim chametz on Pesach, right? Those two things are not yours. The Torah regards them as yours. But the Yerushalmi takes a step further and says you can even transfer the liability from yourself to somebody else. How? By this type of agreement. Okay, so says the Gemara, that's one answer. Our Rav Shimon said another answer. Tipater b'chayfer chulos. We can say it's a case where you dug it. The first guy dug it in the sands. Since it was in the sands, so it was not stable. So the second guy came and stabilized the hole. By stabilizing the hole, he acquires the hole. Now that's similar to the Bavli. The Bavli, in terms of the Bavli is a famous machlokas. I don't know if it's in the Yerushalmi too, but the Bavli and the Daf Nun Aleph has a machlokas. Is a bor chai mishum havlo and mishum chavata. Now I never understood this machlokas. I don't understand exactly what we're talking, what it means. But the poshim pshat is at a bor chai because the animal gets bumped right when it falls into the bor, right? Chavata, it's knocked around. But there's a sheet in the Bavli which shows the bor is chai mishum havola, because you create a constricted space in which the air is bad. It's the bad air from which the animal dies or suffers, whatever. So the Yerushalmi there, the Bavli says, the only reason a sar or a kier guy can acquire the bor, the shmir of the bor, is if originally the bor was very wide, and therefore there was no havola, and now he made it narrower, and he ruined the air therein by making the air more oppressive. So that's the only way which the second guy makes it, because in essence, in that case, he made the nezek. That's somewhat similar to the second answer of the Yerushalmi, right? The shifting sands, and this guy stabilized it, but it's not at all like the first answer of the Yerushalmi, that there's a kinyan taking place, right? So you see from the Bavli, as I said, doesn't go as far as Yerushalmi. It rather only holds that there's a possibility that the second guy be chayv if he enhanced the nezek aspect of the boar, but not that he can acquire the boar if he didn't enhance the nezek aspect thereof. Okay? Says the Gemara, the Tani, we learned, Chavar Zeh Asorah. This is a proof that the first guy is Chayev as well, where they both participated. They can be partners in being liable. Chavar Zeh Asorah Vezeh Asorah. Each guy dug 10. Or Zeh Asim Vezeh Asim, each guy dug 20. Shazem may have Zem each time dug 100. I guess they're digging for oil. Kul and Chayav, they're all liable. Why? Because they all participated. Kam Shur Lamis, what's the shear to kill? Asorat Fachim. The 10 Fachim is the shear to kill. Lahazik, what's the shear to mean Mazik? Kosher. No matter how small. Now, this actually, the Bavli doesn't have a discussion of how shallow a bore is in terms of nezer. The Marshal, which the Marapani brings down here at the very bottom, wants to say that the shear is at least 3 tefachim. Because otherwise, not a bore, it's level to the surface, right? But the Marapani says it's clear from the Ushami, not like this. And the Rama Basim is like the Ushami. Rama Basim is that the shear is a kosher. Doesn't matter. A little outcropping, a little depression, that's already considered to be a bor vis-a-vis nizakin. Okay? Sumchus argues. Sumchus holds like the Marshal. Sumchus argues at the top of Hamadav. Shloishal arko l'roch v'arba. That's the 4x4 4 length by 4 width by 3 deep. Otherwise, it's not considered to be a bore. That's minimum shear of a bore. 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim by 3 tefachim. Okay? Rabbi Elazar HaKfar Omer. Now, two interpretations of Rabbi Elazar HaKfar. I like the Gilin HaShas interpretation over the Pnei Moshe, but I'll tell you both. Elazar HaKfar says, Kemiluol Shel Noifel. He says that a bore is the height of an animal, the falling animal. What's the milul shel noifel? Now, first I'll tell you the Pnei Moshe. The Pnei Moshe says, milul shel noifel, afilu tarnigo, afilu gamo. Even the height of a rooster is enough to make you liable if a camel falls in. Because it doesn't mean each animal based on its height, but rather it's the animals which are larger you're liable on, even if they fall into a bore, which corresponds to the height of a smaller animal. That's how the Pnei Moshe learns it. But the Regilia Shas learns, I think, much more logically, that each animal requires its own reckoning. A field tango, a field gomo means not that even if a gomo falls into a pit, the depth of a tarnigo is high, but rather a tarnigo requires its own size pit, and a gomo requires its own size pit, right?
Does it actually have to be a pit? Can it just be a crack in the sidewalk?
Only if you hold like Tanakama. According to Tanakama, yeah, but not according to...
Not according
to Rabbi Elazar HaKfar. According to Elazar HaKfar, it would have to be significantly deep. Now, the Rambam, the Oros HaMeach, asked on the Rambam, how can the Rambam paskin's koshu, why is the Rambam like Rabbi Elazar HaKfar, paskin like Rabbi Elazar HaKfar? He says that there's a Bavli which says Daf Tzadik Aleph in Bava Kama that Yesh Omed L'Nizokin. Sounds like we do have to make reckonings. It sounds like Rulez Akfar that everything is relative. So why is it the Rambam Paskin of the Bavli? So he says that he wants to tell you that which the Bavli holds Yesh Omed L'Nizokin is only according to Mandamar that bores Mishum Havola. Because then you have to gauge the air to see how bad the air was, whether it was sufficiently bad to damage. But if it bores mishum chavata, like the Rambam Paskins, then it can even be a koshu, because any crack in the sidewalk can make you fall. Okay, that's it. Okay, Piska. The Chasid Shem Ben Mila. By the way, do you find Baba Kama hard so far? No, I shudder to think of how it could possibly get hard, but Lieberman claims that Nizakin is much harder than the rest of the Yushas, but so far, I don't know, I don't see it. Okay, Nechazim Shem Ben Mila. Nechazim where there is no Mila. That's an iron horror, now we'll see what happens next. Nechazim Shem Ben Mila. The property where there is no Mila, there's no, that only and then is there Nizaki, not if it's holy. So Tani, so we learned, Hanechazim Halolu, to take out the dollar, right? Their soul takes out the dollar. Hanechazim Halolu, now I'm going to take out the next four words. The Shai Torah Yisrael does it, and he saves a lot of ridbaz, which otherwise you have to get into. Don't think that when I mention the Chasim Sheish Ben Meila, it means only the Chasim Sheish Ben Meila, because by Kachim Talon there's no Meila. So you're going to pay Hekdesh for damage done to Kachim Talon? Or is Hekdesh going to pay you because of damage done by animals in the Kachim Kalim? Of course not. So it says, Nechazim Sheim Ben Me'ila, it doesn't mean, and therefore Kachim Kalim are included in the Zakin. Kachim Kalim are also not included in the Parsha of the Zakin. Both ways. You don't pay Hekdesh if you damage Kachim Kalim. You might have to pay some other payment, but not the classic payment of the Zakin in the Torah. And vice versa, if Kachim Kalim damage your animal, so then they don't pay you. Okay, so that's how he learns it. Tani nechasim halolu kachim em elishayim ben mila. Kachim is the main factor, not whether there's meila or not. Rabbi Yosef Shmuel said, "The Rabbi Yosef Glili he." This is specifically because Rabbi Yosef Glili was saying this, because Rabbi Yosef Glili holds bavus the sheet, the famous sheet of Rabbi Yosef Glili goes Kachim Kalim. Mamam Bailim. It belongs to the owner, right? So I would say, if Kachim Kalim, Mamam Bailim, that's why you can be Mekadesh and Isha with your portion in Kachim Kalim. So don't think that he holds them, but the Kachim Kalim are part of the Parsha Nezakin. They're not. Okay? So it says, the Tani, look at Mola Mal Bashem. It's a halacha, which we're going to discuss now in some detail. I gave you an animal for safekeeping. animal, it doesn't matter if it's animal or anything else, but let's say an animal. I get an animal, same people. You come to me and you lie. You say, you take a shvua and you say, I never got the animal. Then you have to make a korban shvua. That's in the Torah, it's called the Mala Mal Bashem. Right? The Mi'ila is not to be confused with the regular Mi'ila. This Mi'ila is taking a shvua, again, a false shvua. Okay? This is confusing because Mi'ila we just use in the context of some behavior which abuses kachin in some shape or form. But here Mi'ila means taking a false shvua. So it says if you take a false shvua, Bah Hashem, so then you have to make a korban shvua. So basically, Gemara Lohavi Kachim Kalim means that if you take a false shvua on Kachim Kalim, I gave you my korban shlomit, the safeguard for me, and then you lie about it. So then you have to bring in korban shvua as well. Why? Because even though it's kachim, but since it's kachim kalim, it's mom and bailam, it belongs to me, and therefore you have to take a shvua. The way you take a shvua in that, when you lie, you have to bring a korban. Benazir melo. Now, what kind of kachim kalim? Benazir omer lohavi es hashlomim. It's specifically about shlomim. Now, what does shlomim mean? So it says gemara abe yesi ben shlomer loy benazir omer elo abchor bilvad. Says not shlomim. Bechor. Mabinim, what's the difference? Shlomim, you have to bring the Sochim with. Bechor has known the Sochim. Bechor has known the Sochim. Sorry. Sorry. Bechor. Bechor. One second. But what's interesting to my Mar Shlomim, he says that Shlomim is considered to be Mom and Bailim. Koshkein Meiser. Meiser Behemoth is certainly Mom and Bailim. Because Shlomim you have to bring the Sochim for. If I bring Shlomim, I have to bring wine and flour with it. If I bring, and oil. If I bring Meiser Behemoth, right, that's every tenth animal, I don't have to bring that. So if Shlomim is Mom and Bailim, even though there are all sorts of additional accoutrements of carbon attached to it, certainly Meiser is Mamon Bailim. Belonging to the owner. However, Manda Mar Bechor, he says Bechor is Mamon Bailim, Meiser Behemoth is not. Why? Because Bechor can be sold. The Kohen owns the Bechor. Right, the Kohen owns the Bechor, and he can sell it. Even while it's still a tam, he can sell it. Meiser Behemoth cannot be sold. So therefore, if you know Bechor is Mama Bailim, I might say Dafka Bechor because it can be bought and sold by the master. But Meiser Behemoth can't be bought and sold. Perhaps it's not considered to be a Mama Bailim. Okay? So it says, Marab Shimon Omer, Echo Kachim Kalim, Kachim Kachim Kalim. This is a bigger Chumrah. I give you my Chatos to watch. You lie about the Chatos. You also bring Korban Shvua. Chatos is for sure not mine, right? Chatas is kachim kachim. How can there be a korban shvua? Rabbi Shimon's famous shita throughout Shas. What's Rabbi Shimon's famous shita? Davar agarim l'mamon k'mamon dami. Anytime I go to anything which is, even if I don't own it, but if my chatas gets lost, what do I have to do? I have to replace it. So it causes me a loss. So even though it's not mine, the chatas, since its absence will cause me loss, it's going to cause me monetary loss. It's like money, right? So therefore, if you lie about the chatas I gave you for safekeeping, even though it's not mine, unlike Kachim Kalim, according to Rabbi Yosef Lee, nevertheless, you have to bring a korban shvua because it would cause me a loss, okay? Echo Kachim, Kachim, Kachim Kalim, Kachim Shekhaya Bachrayusim, if I have to replace it, if you lie to me, and it korban by me to the kichesh. I say it's a lie against me. You caused me a loss, therefore you have to bring a korban shvua. V'sheinu chaya b'achrius, and however korbanos which I don't have to replace if they're no longer around. Kerni b'hem b'ashem v'kichesh. In that case, the taka is not considered to be a shvua of any significance, and the lie of the shvua doesn't generate a korban shvua. I mean, you'll burn in hell for having lied, but you don't have to bring a korban because you have to lie to your friend in order for there to be a korban shvua. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna said, and this is a very difficult line here. The Shai Torah says it changes the gears completely, But Lieberman brings down a Gemara in Shavuos, which says exactly like the Gemara says here, a Gemara in the Yerushalmi Shavuos. And therefore, I don't want to change the gear, so I'm loath to change the gear. So I'm going to tell you a pilpul here. Okay, I don't like it, but it's my, but I couldn't figure out any other pshat for saying. Rav Huna Amar, Echad Kachim Ksheri, Echad Kachim Psulim. Even if I gave an animal to watch, and it's an animal which is a Baal Mum. So anyway, I'm going to have to replace it. No matter what, I'm going to have to replace it no matter what. So the Kachim Shechai Bachar Yusan, these kach, if it's kachim shchay b'chriuson, right? Chay b'chrayus, have to replace it. Afilu hach, afilu hein l'Hashem. Even though I'm gonna have to replace it regardless, because it's a baal mum, right? You might lie to me, but I don't lose anything by that, because anyway I'm gonna have to replace this car because it's a baal mum. Right? Even according to Rabbi Shimon, I'm not gonna have to replace it regardless.
Go out and graze, and then
you can sell it. So
do I?
You
let the Baal Mum,
it
can go out and graze, and then you can sell it. So according to Rav Shimon, you're still living
in a possible. I didn't even think of that. Could be right. That would explain it very simply. Because you could still dover very long, because I was just saying it. I was going to say it's probably now Sheker, but I'll tell it to you anyway because I thought of it, which is that that the Baal Mum, even though the Baal Mum has to replace anyway, but since it's in the category of things which are going with Mamot, so therefore it's considered to have an affinity to me, and therefore if you lie to me, then you have to be a carbon shvur. Your pshat is much better.
But
I'm saying, even though I'm not taking into account that I'm actually going to perhaps save money on the deal, I'm just saying, since it's in that category, that's enough to make you have to be a carbon shvur. But what you're saying is probably true. Okay. In any event, regardless of whether it's about mum or not, whether it's kachin kshe and kachin psulim, it's a lie which has to do with Hashem and not with your fellow man, and therefore there's no carbon shmur. Okay? Piska, right? The all of a sudden, the end of Kedushin, they start using the word Piska. Piska, new passage. The Chazon Shech of Bnei Bris. Prat l'shor shi Yisrael shenogach shor shalach. Jewish ox gores a Jewish ox gores a non-Jewish ox. So then, we're potter. Okay? Minichaz miyuchadim. And it precludes, and has to be owned. Lom nichse hefker. The carbon of Pnei Moshe gives a nice try. It says, let's say a hefker ox gored my ox. And damage it. And then somebody acquires that hefker ox. In a hefker. So the guy acquires it doesn't have to pay me. It's not a lien which rides on the ox. It's a lien which rides on an owner who owned the ox at the time that the ox gored. So therefore, in that case, if the ox gored when it was ownerless, and then an owner took it over, he's not responsible for any prior damages.
Is that
Shita? No, because Chatzi Nezek, at least, is Mishalim Migufo. Right? Chatzi Nezek is paid from the body of the ox, from the value of the ox itself. So I might say the value of the ox now has a lien riding on it. I guess that, at least that's what I think happening is. Maybe it's not. Maybe that's partial that we don't say it with. That's
the question would arise if the first two times that this
William, yeah,
was ownerless,
yeah,
and did goring, and then the third time.
No, that for sure. No, for sure it does. Can't become a muad because it says vuad bevalov. If there's no bialim, you can't make it a muad.
That would be the same.
Okay, yeah, maybe it is Noheim. I'm not sure what that means necessarily. But that's what I thought it was. Now we come to the part where the Babi and Rishami parted ways in the language of our Mishnah. Chutzmi Rishusam Yuchadis Lamazik Shu Potter. Rishus, which is Miuchad, which is designated for the Mazik, it's his, so he's Potter. The Shores. If another ox comes in and is damaged, unfortunately, by the mazik's ox, that's the visitor's problem, right? Nogin heim b'shus ha-nizak v'ha-mazik. But when it belongs to the mazik and the nizak together, then you got to pay, which is in direct collision from the bavli, Because the Bavli holds, right? Because that's the Megillas in our Mishnah, that when it's in the Rishus HaNizek V'Mazik, then you're puzzled. Okay? Now, obviously, there are two opinions in the Bavli, but that's, it seems that that's the primary opinion. That Rishus HaNizek V'Mazik, not B'Tashlumin, right? Which means you have to pay, but Rishus HaNizek V'Mazik is like Rishus HaMichayz V'Mazik, right? Because the way the Bavli learns it, without the word tashlumin at the end, so chutz mishus miyachayes amazik, v'rushus anizim amazik, both are potter. But the way the Yerushalmi has the word tashlumin at the end, so it's a separate clause, which means rushus anizim amazik bit tashlumin, that there is payment. So a totally different approach based on the different views of the Mishnah. Okay. So here, yeah, so the Amrabi Yirmiyahu said, ilu tanu chutz mishus miyachayes amazik v'shosak. We're to have said that there's no payment in the mazik's, you know, the damager's yard, and then was silent. Hisyom, I would have known. We've known that in the partner's yard, and if the chutz belongs to neither of them, that you're chayev. So v'lamatana nogiyim b'shus anizim amazik. Why does it have to tell us that there is payment b'shus anizim amazik? It's pashut, right? I mean, it's not. I don't know if it's pashut, but I could have learned that just by leaving out that last line. If you would have told me the only case where your example of paying is b'shus amazik, by definition, I would have known that b'shus amazik v'anizak, if it's a common domain, that there is payment. So why does the Mishnah have to tell us that there's payment? It's superfluous. We need to darshan this last line. Because it's like excess verbiage in the Mishnah. Why does it have to tell us this? So says Mor Rav Yehuda says an amazing thing. It's talking about the four shomrim. Now, this is amazing because there are three perushim in this, and there's no way of knowing which is perush is correct. The Pnei Moshe says it's talking about where you accepted by yourself an ox for shmira, and in your backyard the shomer's ox. Or the ox given to him for Shmira. The Ritbah says, sorry about the exact opposite. That in those kids, sorry about where the Mafkid's ox, right, the guy who gave his safekeeping, gored the Shomer's ox. And the Shah Tesel gives a third shot that the Mafkid gave the Nifkad two oxen, and one gored the other. So according in all these cases, we have to say Chayev. Who's Chayev? If the Shomer's ox, according to Moshe, the Shomer's ox scored the Mafkid's ox, so then the Shomer's Chayev. According to Prit Baz, if the Mafkid, the guy who gave the ox for safekeeping, his ox, scored the Shomer's ox, then he's Chayev, right? Mafkid's Chayev, yeah.
Why? But the Mafkid wasn't there, the Shomer should have.
He shouldn't have given rabid oxen to watch. Should have given some warning. Obviously, it must be talking about a case where some warning should have been given. According to Shai Teres Yisrael, the shomer's got to pay for not having watched that the two oxen of the mafkid are not going to gore each other. Okay, so you can take a choice, whichever shot you like better.
I was just going to say the shomer should have to eat his own loss because he should have watched out that the mafkid's ox would gore his own ox. So because he didn't, so the shomer should just have to eat it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember what the Ritbaz's logic was. I don't remember what the Ritbaz's logic is. The Ritbaz says, when the Shomer accepted to watch the ox, to babysit this guy's ox, he only accepted to babysit vis-a-vis the rest of the world. But the assumption was that the Mafkid accepts upon himself as also assumed to be of liability vis-a-vis the Shomer's ox. That's the assumption implicit in the contract. That's what he wants to say. Okay? You don't have to like it. You can like one of the other two pshatim, but that's... So name it. So that's a Rira Dash is the extra line in the Mishnah that's talking about this case where there's a shomer involved. On Rabbi Yisrael, says a different shot in the extra line in the Mishnah. He argues. Rabbi Yisrael, okay, same thing, same deal. The extra line is superfluous, but he gives a different explanation of it. Mikhaim in the town, since it says Mishum Chutz Rishus HaMichres the Mazik, since it says to exclude the Rishus, which is unique to the Mazik, and it is the idea that only in that case you're exempt from paying, where the damage occurred in the Mazik's backyard, right? So if that's the case, any of the Yodim Shein Nogim Rishus HaNizim HaMazik, would we not know that it pertains in the Rishus and the Nizak of the Mazik? Obviously we wouldn't know that. The Lama Tana Nogin Heim Rishus Nizak Va Mazik. So why does it have to say that it applies to the Rishus and Nizak and the Mazik? Eloitzi Chatzir Shein Rishus Neim. It's going to tell us that in a Chatzir which belongs to neither of them, right? A Chatzir which belongs to neither of them, you're Potter. Okay? We're going to have a Tana later on who's going to say this. There's the Kosov. Don't ask me why. We're going to give an example because it's got to belong to somebody. It happens in a totally area which doesn't belong to either of them, then there's no liability. Okay? Now, says Mark, now bear in mind, this is talking specifically about Shane and Regal, not about Karen. Rabbi Yirmiyahu is talking about Karen, about Goring and about Karen, maybe Shane and Regal too, I'm not sure, but he's talking about Shane and Regal. So Shane and Regal, in order to be Chayev, has to be a yard which belongs to it could be a yard which belongs to both of them, or the yard of the Nizak, but it can't be a Chatur which doesn't belong to either one of them. Okay? So it says more, East Tiny Tiny, those who said, a few Chatur Shane and Shoshneim. Some argue. Some say, even a Chatur which doesn't belong to either of them, you're liable. Manamar Chatzir Shushut V'Nichayoves, he holds that if it's a Chatzir which belongs to them, it's partnership. The Mazik's liable. The Chatzir Sheino Shushneim, Petura, Chatzir which belongs to either of them, you're Potter, makes the most amazing drush in the world. You'll see if you can rip out your hair on this one. You'll see if Tapa Vavamanav, Metav Sadehu. Now, Metav Sadehu is going on the payment. Means if I'm Isaac, you, I got to pay you the best of my fields. Or the best of your fields is a whole question. Metav of the Mazik, Metav of the Nizak. But we're dashing Sadehu to mean the field in which the damage occurs has to belong to somebody. Whereas if I leave, let's say, my food pile, my haystack in a Hefker area, and an ox comes and tramples it, or eats it, even though it's Shein V'Regel, it's Potter. Why? Because it has to be Metav Sadehu, has to be, even though that's talking about the payment, we learn from there also the Nezek, that the Nezek must take place in somebody's yard. From the extra above. Sadeh Shalom. Sadeh which belongs to somebody. Believe me, I can't explain it, because the drasha is from a pasuk which is not talking about the damage circumstance of payment. It's a pliya. But amen, ma'anam afilu chatzir sheino shoshneim chayeves, which makes sense, right? To his drasha makes sense, because it goes on the circumstance of damage. You see, ubiya b'steyachet. So as long as your animal goes and grazes or walks in some other field, it doesn't say b'sadeh shelacher, in somebody else's field, it says in another field. So that would indicate even another field which doesn't belong to either one of them. So he talks the fact that it says you're just steyacher, not sadehu or sadeh shelacher. Okay, mikomakom. Rabbi Yazi b'shem Yonah said chatzar shutvin chayavis. Rabbi Yazi says chatzar belongs to two partners. Mazik is chayav, and Galina Ephraim throws in here, and it's probably right. Chatzar sheinu shushneim p'tura. If it's a chatzah which doesn't belong to either one of them, it's exempt, like the first drasha. I'm Rabbi Yose. Rabbi Yose said, Rabbi Yose said, oh no, I learned out this principle that I derived this from my daughter Tanya Rabbi Yose. That Rabbi Yose taught. Arba klolos, hoy Rabbi Yose taught that Arba klolos, Rabbi Shem ben Elazar, Rabbi Shem ben Meir, and Ezekiel. Shem ben Elazar said four principles named Rabbi Meir in terms of the Ezekiel. What are they? Any place where the Nizak and Mazik have permission to be there. You go bundiki like a motel, the chutz or shufim, and a place where there's a partnership, the chayetibem, etc. Ala shein bala regel, and shein and regel. Next word is obviously a mistake. Schayev. Shein and regel, schayev, because they're both allowed to be there, so the Mazik's got to watch himself. Right? So, ala nagicha. What about on Karen? On the Gicha Goring, on the Gifa pushing, Vanashicha, biting. Vavitan, crouching. Valabita, kicking. Vatchian, shoving. Those are all keren, right? Those are all goring type things. Im tam b'shalayim chati nezek. If it's tam, it pays chati nezek. If it's muad b'shalayim nezek sholim min aliyah. If it's muad, if it's already done it three times, pay full value min aliyah from and above and beyond even the value of the damaging ox. The tam only pays up to the value of the damaging ox. Muad even above and beyond that. Now the Gilin Ephraim points out, this is going to be important for Amud Beis. This is not like Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon holds that Meshuna Karen B'chotzeran is not just Chatzi Nezer. So it's clearly not like this, because here it says that even though it's a B'chotzer Shutrim, you pay half damages. According to Rabbi Tarfon, it's a B'chotzer Shutrim, you should have to pay full damages. Okay? Also, however, L'nizak V'lon L'mazik, if it's a yard which belongs to the Nizak and not to the Mazik, Chai B'chol, then you pay full damages. Even for Karen, that is like Rabbi Tarfon, right? Because except obviously this author of this price holds that Chatzar Shutfin is not like the Chatzar Nizak. Rabbi Tarfon holds both Chatzar Shutfin and the Chatzar of the Nizak, Nezak Sholim. The author of this price draws a distinction. He says in the Chatzar Shutfin, Karen Tam Chati Nezak, and in the fifth year which fully belongs to the Nizak, Nezak Sholim, right? If he belongs to the Mazik and not to the Nizak, right, then you're exempt from everything, right? Obviously, right? Because it's what's the Nizak's ox doing in there. Vahakomodim, and everybody agrees, and here the Gilin Ephraim says, both Rabbanan and Rabbi Tarfon agree. V'she'ein, Rishus Lolazeh, V'lolazeh, that it's not a domain which belongs to neither one of them. Bika, such as a planted valley, which is a rabbin, a public thoroughfare, a chayetzba, etc., where neither of them should be. Alashen v'aregel, potter. Unchain v'aregel, you're potter. Okay, so here, chotzer she'en o'shoshnam, according to this, it depends. If it belongs to neither one of them, but both of them are allowed to be there, such as a motel in your chayet. But it belongs to neither one of them, and they're not allowed to be there. Because you can't leave your oxen roaming around free in Rishus HaRabim, or in somebody else's planted fields, right? So in that case, which is a bika, al hashein v'arego potter. On shein v'arego, you're potter, right? There's a kusuf. There's a kusuf we had before. Has to be made up, so there has to be a field which is owned by somebody. Okay? On a gichav, on a gifav, on a shichav, on a bitav, on a bitav, on a chiyah, on all those cases we had before. Time is shalim chatzin nezek, or mu'ah mishalim nezek sholim min aliyah. The time is mishalim chatzin nezek, and the mu'ah is mishalim nezek sholim above and beyond even the value of the ox. Okay? Okay? So again, this argues in the Bavli. The Bavli holds the Rishus HaMazik v'Nizak, your potter, right? So here the Yerushalmi holds the Rishus HaMazik v'Nizak, you are chayav. Okay? Says more for them. Halacha Gimel. Shum Kesef. You evaluate the money of the damage. But you have to evaluate the money of the damage, basically, whatever it was. The Gemara is going to explain what that means. Shava Kesef. Also, Shava Kesef. Now, I don't understand this, but Shava Kesef, the Yerushalmi says, means only real estate and not. You only pay reimbursement with real estate and not with metalfin, which is for sure not the sheep of the Bavli. I don't know how they get that from the word shavakesef, but somehow shavakesef means, according to the Yerushalmi, real estate. Don't ask me how. Yeah. Okay? Bifnei Basin, in any event, it's in front of witness to a court, Malpiedim, and based on witnesses. Bnei Chorin, the witnesses have to be, Bnei Chorin, free men, Bnei Brisin, they have to be Jews. Vanoshim, women, of course, can be witnesses, but Biklal, Nezak, Vanizak, but they can damage and be damaged and, you know, reimburse accordingly. Vamazik, Biklal, Nezak, comma. Vanizak, Mazik, Tashlumim, and in the case of Karen, both the damagee and the damager lose as in the payment, as the moral will explain. Okay? Now, what's the first thing? Shum Kesef. Ain't no mean tate se para batalis. It's a cool case. Maybe Moshe brings it down. I don't think it's in the Bavli. It seems like it's a Sefta. What happened was like this. My ox gored your talus. Ruined the talus. Then that talus somehow, by some poetic justice, some mida k'neged mida, got wrapped around my ox's leg in Rosh Hashanah, and my ox broke its leg. So we don't say enemy takes it part of a talus. You don't say poetic justice has occurred, and therefore no payment should take place. Rather, we reckon what was more damaged, how was more damaged, was the talus more damaged, was the ox more damaged, and we make payments accordingly. So don't say it cancels each other out. Okay? Shava kasef. Now again, I don't understand this, but here it says it. When Basin collect, they collect only from real estate. If, however, the Nizak grabs metaltlin to reimburse himself, then Shamin Lomihan, we keep them. And we deduct from the principle which is owed to him. But again, yeah, that's only if you grab. Basin does not authorize the collection of metaltlin, right? Now in the Bavli it says Bavli says that even if you have soap, I forget exactly what subin is. No, subin is coarse grain. Bran. Even bran can be used. But here it says real estate. I don't know what to do with this. Yeah, but I don't know where he gets that from. I don't know. I have that underlined in my Pnei Moshe too, but I don't understand it. Anyway, Bivnei Beis has a place for a base of Lamed Shein Shomin Lahal Bivnei Beis. The reckonings of how much to pay take place at Bivnei Beis. I'll be Adim, Shein Shomin Lahal Bivnei Adim. I also ask people then this is. Bnei Chorin and Bnei Bris, Yotu Akum, Muvavadim, Psalade, as opposed to Goyim and slaves, and others who Psalmadus. Benoshim Michal Nezek. Women are included in damagees and damagers. Since the pasuk only mentions men, that's why the Mishnah has to tell us that Rabbi Sazish has to include women as well. And where do you see it in the pasuk himself? Tani Rabbi Shmo said, these are the judgments you should put in front of them. Who are them? Men and women. I think it goes on to say they're men and women. Isha, I think it says there. Okay. Vanizak Vamazi B'tashlumin. What does it mean? They both participate, both the damagee and damager participate in the payment. Mishamim chati nezek. This is when chati nezek is paid, right? Because chati nezek, everybody loses, right? So, we can't, but from here we see shem chati nezek. We can't just say mafsi chati nezek, we say mafsi chati nezek. Here we see they split it up. Chamisha tamim chamisha muadim. The five cases which an animal can be tam and then becomes a muad. What are they? Abeima animal is an animal does not start any off being muad lolikach, not to gore, lolikof, not to push, lolishoch, not to bite, lolivotes, not to crouch, lolivote, nor to kick. But we had one more on Omidalf, which is to shove, right? Pushing with the head and shoving with the body. I assume that shoving here is included in lolikof. Okay? Hashain, but tooth, eating, shameless to close our royal law. Anything which an animal can customarily eat, even if it's occasionally, you know, we have like a chazer which ate basar, which is doesn't usually happen, but anything which an animal can eat, that chain, it's always moored. Harego also, moed is l'shav rabbi day chilucho, it's always moored, to break as it's walking. Hashora moored, v'shora mazik, v'shusa nizak, v'adam. Also, a shore which is moored is of course moored, right? Hashora mazik, v'shusa nizak, the shore of the Mazishus and Isaac, even vis-a-vis Keren, is Nezek Sholim. And our mission is going, as Amar will say, like who? Like Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon who says that Keren, the Chatzar and Isaac, Mishalim Nezek Sholim, means that's considered being a Muad in the Chatzar and Isaac, right? Rabbi Tarfon Amar Nezek Sholim, Rabbi Tarfon says, I'm sorry, scripture of the Gemara. Vodam, and man. A man is always Muad. Adam, Muad, Lohoma, right? The person is Muad. Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Tarfon, "Your mission is Rabbi Tarfon. Bereshus Haniza, because Bereshus Haniza, because here it says Bereshus Haniza, well, you pay full damages, even an ox, which is a tam, that's Rabbi Tarfon. A tam mer nezek sholem, chachorim in chatzi nezek. Chachorim say, a tam, even in a chatzi nezek, only pays chatzi nezek. So Rambam says, a tam in chatzi nezek pays nezek sholem, it's clearly going to Rabbi Tarfon. Okay? Hazev, a wolf. Bari, a lion. A dove, a bear. A nomer, a tiger. A bardalus. Let's go to bardaluses. An anteater? Anyway, whatever it is. Vanachash, a snake, arele mu'adim. They're mu'ad, right? They're always mu'ad. Rabbi Elazar Omer, b'zman she b'nei tarbos ain mu'adim. Rabbi Elazar says if they're domesticated, they're not mu'ad. We don't pass them like him. So you can't domesticate them. But even Rabbi Elazar could see it. Vanachash mu'ad lo'olam. Vanachash is always mu'ad. Can't domesticate it. Ma'a b'nei tam l'mu'ad. What is the difference between the tam and wood? Where it is applicable? Tam pays or half damages and only up to its own value. Now, if you have a scrawny ox which gored a majestic cow, so then you only pay up to the value of the scrawny ox, even if it's much less than chatzi nezek. V'amur m'shai nezek sholim min'ali amur pays nezek sholim, the full value of the damages, and even above and beyond the value of the damaging ox. Tanya Meir Meir Afa Tzavua. I think a Tzavua is hyena. The Tzavua is also considered to be more from the get-go. Amrei Be'ezer said, Lomrei Meir Lebe Tzavua Zohar. So I talk about male hyenas. Shiei Shoa Shukoshukari, sometimes male hyenas are tough like lions. And the Maraponi brings down that the same distinction between male and female hyenas is made in the Bavli. Okay, I didn't prepare anymore. That's unprecedentedly early for the shiur, though, to end. Maybe we should start the next parak. I don't know how far we'll get. Okay. Kate said a regal. June 22nd, by the way, is the official June 22nd. The number is a leopard, right? Yeah, that's true. Okay. They didn't have tigers in the Keta regam wedes the Shabbat derech ilucha. How does a rego break while it's walking? Abeim wedes the halach kedarkel the Shabbat. The animal is, more to walk and break, right? Koysam mibaitas, what if it's kicking? No shur tzoros minatzi mitachzorokle, or pebbles were spurting out from underneath its feet. The Shubra saw Kalim, and it broke Kalim via the pebbles. Shai Chatzinezek. Chatzinezek, Tzoros, is obviously a very famous sugya we're about to learn. That's the Chatzinezek. The pebbles which come out from under the feet are Chatzinezek, even though it should be regular, right? Bavli, I don't know what the Yishama says, Bavli says that Tzoros says, of course it's regular, but it's a cause of that it's Chatzinezek nevertheless. Oh, Moshe Messina, sorry. Right.
Second problem, because it's not directly, it's indirectly.
That may be the reason for that, Welcome Moshe Messina, but it's certainly not kept. That's the point. Okay, Darsal Kli, if the animal stepped out of a castle vessel, the Shavartan broke it. Another Kli, and then it fell another Kli, a Shavaro, right? The first one broke, the first Kli broke a second Kli. Arisha Mishan Nezek Shoyim, the first Keli is Nezek Shoyim, because that's actually classic regal. V'achron, but then the pot shards, which were spewed out and broke the second Keli, that's the Tzoros, and then on that, Mishan Chatzi Nezek. Okay? So it says more, Vein Dakolati Tzoros? I understand why it's Tzoros any different than regular regal. That's the derech is to make Tzoros. So we'll have to wait to see the answer.